Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Tracy Rothenberger to the broadcast. Tracy is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Ricoh Americas Corporation and is responsible for the services consulting, information technology, supply chain, customer administration, and process improvement teams. He's also been appointed as a Corporate Senior Advisor of Ricoh Company Limited. Tracy's been a key figure leading the major aspects of Ricoh Americas transformation to a services-led company. Before his current role, Tracy was Chief Information Officer and Chief Process Officer of Ricoh Americas. Prior to his time at Ricoh, Tracy was Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer for Icon Office Solutions before it merged with Ricoh. Tracy's also held senior leadership positions at Ecolab and at U.S. Trust. I recently caught up with Tracy by phone in his office in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed the advantage of being a CIO and working across the business and how he parlayed that advantage to become COO of his organization, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Tracy Rothenberger, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks for the invitation, Peter. It's my pleasure to join you today.
Tracy, I thought we'd begin with your current company, your employer, Ricoh Americas, as well as your role in the company, and I think very pertinent to this, your evolving role, as of course you've recently been promoted to your current position as COO. So perhaps you could also talk a little bit about recent developments on your career path in addition to the company that you serve.
Sure. So Ricoh is a global technology company that specializes in office imaging equipment, production print solutions, and document management systems. We are headquartered out of Tokyo, but I'm responsible for part of the region in the Americas, which spans from Canada all the way through the U.S., Central America, and South America. We really try to drive our revenue around the products and solutions that help people use information more effectively. We've traditionally been a paper-based document company, but as the industry has evolved, as technology has evolved, we're much more about helping our customers leverage information in a much more digital format, in a much more transportable format, and that's really what Ricoh is all about today, is we're trying to deliver more advanced services to help our customers use that information more effectively. My role, as you mentioned, has changed somewhat recently, and I've evolved from being the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer into a role as Chief Operating Officer. And that Chief Operating Officer role encompasses our IT organization as well as our process improvement team, our enterprise services team, so the advanced consultants that are out in the field working shoulder to shoulder with our customers on the workflow and document management solutions that they need, as well as some operational functions like supply chain management and customer administration, which includes our billing and collections teams.
Was there a COO prior to your ascending to the role? Do you have a predecessor as Chief Operating Officer?
We had a predecessor in the role, but we only had that individual for maybe a couple of years. And they only had the responsibility for supply chain and customer administration. So even the role of chief operating officer is one that is evolving. And as most organizations that have a chief operating officer know, that's really an extension of the CEO. And the role of COO is very dynamic and changes quite a bit based on exactly what the needs are of the CEO that they're serving.
And speaking of that, the specific needs that justify putting together the various groups that you just articulated a moment ago, what was the benefit assumed in bringing together the diverse array of competencies that make up your team?
So the IT and process improvement were probably the first step in this evolution, and we combined those two roles maybe as long ago as 4 years ago. And when we looked at process improvement, we looked across the organization to try to drive improvements in all aspects of the business. And in that function, I got heavily involved in supply chain management, customer administration, because those are kind of lifeblood of this company. Beyond just sales and service of our products and our solutions, being able to have an effective supply chain organization, being able to have an effective billing collections operation are kind of integral to our team. So those functions have been together for maybe the past 4 years. And then about a year and a half ago, we included the enterprise services team. And because most of our advanced solutions, when you sit back and you think about them, they're more in line with the approaches and the methodologies that IT leaders or CIOs would think about as they're trying to implement workflow efficiencies, document improvements, and just better use of information inside the environment. So that role came together maybe 18 months ago, and then the most recent change really brought together all of those with the supply chain and customer admin pieces coming in formally as part of the responsibility of the Chief Operating Officer.
Tracy, can you talk about the role of CIO specifically that made it conducive to adding the kinds of responsibilities that over the past 4 years, role by role, group by group, became additional responsibilities under your COO umbrella?
I think one of the things that all CIOs have in common is that they are asked to have a fairly broad visibility across the organization. They tend to see the things that are working well in the areas that have a challenge from a unbiased viewpoint, usually. The IT organization is an organization that is there to serve the business functions, and they have a unique perspective about opportunities in those functions to make things better. I think most CIOs operate from that vantage point, which is a huge advantage when you look at the career path for any CIO that wants to go and do something beyond the IT organization. If they're passionate about a particular business function, they have the ability to get in and really understand it. I think what takes and propels people to that next level is whether they act on that information for the greater good of the company. And when you find the CIO that's willing to kind of put their neck out and make tough recommendations that involve not just IT systems, but also really business change or business transformation, that's when you identify that CIO that's ready to go to the next level.
That makes sense. Can you talk a bit about some of those observations or recommendations? You're not the first to mention, understandably, the need to think beyond the traditional metrics or the traditional KPIs or even the traditional initiatives that IT might pursue, but rather to think about the broader recommendations, the broader value that the IT leader can contribute. As you think back at the point at which it became apparent to you and perhaps to your colleagues that there was more that could be done, do you happen to recall some of those adjacent spaces that you began to get into as you were developing recommendations for improvements?
Yeah, there probably wasn't a pivotal moment. It was probably an accumulation of a series of multiple things that over time just lend themselves into my role as CIO being more important to the organization, being much more of a business leader and being much more of a change agent for our transformation that was going on. At various points in my time, I've gotten very deeply involved in sales and sales process, our service organization. When you're a CIO, the boundaries really are not there for you to stay within one particular area or one particular tower. So for me, I was able to go where the organization needed me the most, and just coincidentally, that happened to be in areas that I had a lot of interest. So when I moved into the enterprise services role, taking on those consultants that help work with the customers, that's a very, very close adjacency to the IT function, because most of those things that we would consult on are natural extensions of what an IT organization would do. So each opportunity has been one that I think builds on itself.
And to what role did the person that you reported to play? There are those who find themselves in the fortunate situation of having bosses, be they the CEO or the CFO, or in fact even the COO, who are curious about IT and cognizant about the greater value that the executive might offer. And there are others who have the more traditional way of thinking of IT as a support organization, a cost center, and perhaps think of the executive that way. I would certainly argue that even in the latter case, it behooves the IT leader to make more of that set of responsibilities and to upgrade the expectations of IT, of the team itself, but also the broader company that it serves. But can you talk a bit about your relationship with your peers and your bosses as you began the journey up and then eventually beyond CIO?
Yeah, so I've been fortunate enough to have CEOs that always have understood the value of IT. And I think industry-wide, we've been going through a lot of change, a lot of evolution. As you think of traditional copiers and printers and what that industry used to be and what it is now post the smartphones and tablets coming out, it's a very, very different world. And we've gone through so much change in our business that is driven or supported by IT that every CEO that I've worked for has always had an appreciation for the true value that IT can bring to the table. So I've been quite fortunate that I've worked in an environment where I've had very supportive bosses.
That's great. As you mentioned multiple times in our conversation, what you are delivering as a business is technology. And so oftentimes on the other side of the table, the customer is in fact someone who is akin to various roles that you have played, especially technology roles. And I wonder, as CIO and now as COO, the customer-facing role that you have had and the degree to which some empathy can be offered as someone who's walked a mile in the shoes of the person across the table, the advantages that that has lent to the extent to which you are involved in sales calls or business relationship opportunities with existing customers.
Yeah, I think it plays into effect maybe in two ways. And you mentioned the executive sponsorship or direct engagement with customers, and that's clearly one aspect. And that's an aspect that I really enjoy doing. I love to get out and spend time with customers, understanding what challenges they have and how we can bring solutions to bear to help them solve their issues. And I spend probably 25 to 30% of my time out with customers at their locations. But the second dimension of that question really is the empathy and how that drives a culture change within the organization. So as we moved our company into more of a services-led organization, helping people understand what does that mean? What are our customers looking for? How do they value the types of products and services that we're going to be offering? How do we set up the marketing and positioning for our services? That perspective really helped change the culture inside of our organization to be much more responsive. When you think about a traditional copier or printer manufacturer and the level of responsiveness that they need versus the level of responsiveness that a professional services organization needs, they're usually quite a bit different. It's a much faster cadence, it's much more responsive, and it's much more about sitting down and listening to the customers. And that culture change was important for our organization to go through, and my CIO perspective was helpful in teams understanding how our customers would view us and want to look at us.
As you reflect on this journey from CIO to COO, Tracy, do you think that this is a path that more executives are likely to travel?
Yeah, I hope so. The role of CIO continues to change. It's been a role that I think over the course of the last 20 or 30 years has gone through many significant transformations in what the role and definition of a CIO is. And today's CIOs are much more strategic. They have much broader visibility. And assuming that you've got the right types of individuals in the CIO chairs, they really are individuals that shouldn't have any limits on their ability to take on different roles, either laterally or higher roles, and potentially even into the chair of CEOs in certain organizations.
And now that you are the boss to IT, what have you taken with you now that you have IT reporting to you as opposed to being the leader of that function exclusively?
One of the things that I think has been interesting for at least some of my staff is I've put them in roles that are directly related to businesses that we're running or functions of the business that we're running. So somebody that used to just be in IT alone and it would service a function as a customer, I've given some of those individuals direct responsibility to drive services delivery or even revenue generation in some of those business areas, which has given them just a totally different perspective on the quality of services that they deliver. And so it's been a very good synergy because I'm able to bring resources across the barriers to help them broaden out their perspectives and their horizons on our organization.
You've mentioned in the past, in our past conversations, that culture wins over strategy. I know that you're a big believer in culture, and I'm not sure that the average CIO, you were actually CIO when we first talked about this, necessarily thinks adequately about the role that culture plays within IT and more broadly speaking. Now, of course, you've got a bigger purview and a broader influence in terms of the culture of the organization. Can you talk a bit about what you meant when you said culture wins over strategy?
Yeah, I think organizations spend a lot of time on strategy. And strategy is good, but strategy has a limit at which it can be implemented. And those limits tend to be all around the culture of the organization. How fast can the organization change? How much change can they go through at any point in time? Are the changes that you're trying to make so fundamentally different from the way that people are thinking that it requires massive changes of individuals to accomplish that, or is it a shorter walk just through re-education? And you can have the most fantastic strategy, the most well-thought-out roadmap on the face of the earth, and it's going to get trumped every single time by the culture of the organization. And individuals, I think, need to understand and need to appreciate the culture of the company that they're working within. For me, that's become very obvious because I've gone through multiple leaders in my 14-year tenure with Icon Office Solutions originally, and then Icon being acquired by Ricoh Corporation. So I've had to adapt to different company cultures, different CEOs. And so for me, the culture of the organization has been much more critical to the success of me personally as well as to the company by understanding the culture versus the strategy.
And to what extent do you think about the role that you have had in bending that culture or making changes to it, the extent to which that's been necessary? Culture is one of those things that you either take the bull by the horns and define yourself, or it will be defined for you. There is a culture in every organization, whether it's on paper or not, or whether it has different names or not. And so what role should one play in defining that culture as it stands and as it should be?
It becomes an interesting question, Peter, because the culture of the organization really needs to be set at the highest level of the company. So the CEO needs to definitely have a clear vision of the culture that they're trying to establish. And I think every leader, whether they're in the CIO spot or COO or any other C-level function within an organization, I think that everybody has a fingerprint or an imprint that they can bring to the culture of the organization. And I think that all of those different perspectives are important, but I always think it's important not to lose sight of the fact that you can't have competing cultures. So I can't have one culture that my counterpart in sales or my counterpart in finance doesn't share with me. So we all have to be unified around a common culture that's set at the highest level of the organization. And then we adapt and we mold our organizations to try to maximize the most that we can out of it. So I spend maybe less time thinking about how do I change the culture and more about how do I really get the behavior and the mindset where we ultimately need to be as one holistic organization.
You were also, Tracy, a big proponent of social media. And again, born out of your time as a CIO, but I'm curious how that continues to evolve and how you think about the use of social media in terms of engaging employees as well as using it as an external touch point with customers and gleaning information about services and products and progress or lack thereof.
So within Ricoh, we've got maybe two approaches to social media, and one is internal, the other is external. And the external is the typical things that you would think of. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we're interacting with our customers, we're getting feedback, we're listening to the things that we can do better to serve our customers day in and day out. The internal social media is the one that I have the most learnings from, because it's been very, very interesting for me to see how that has changed our employee engagement. We implemented technology here from Jive Corporation, so we have placed our intranets with a social platform from Jive, and now we have 20,000 plus employees that are all interacting on a daily basis in a very social network, and it's allowed us to be faster, to disseminate information more uniformly across the organization. It's allowed people to interact with leaders at a much different way than they ever did before. So I participate in forums, and there may be somebody who historically I would have never talked with, who has a question in the social platform. I'll pop in and answer a question they had, and it's a fabulous platform to open up communications. And then the person that asked that question, there's probably a dozen people or more that had the exact same question, that very quickly everybody gets the same information, the same approach. So it's a great way for us as leaders to share information, for us to participate in the discussions that are going on at the ground level of our company, and help influence some of the thinking that's going on with our people. The other way that we're using social media is we formally publish videos every month. And so each leader will take a period of time and will post video for our particular area. So every month the CFO do it, every other month I'll post one, the CEO, head of sales, you know, all of these individuals will post updates that are open to all employees. And it's a great way to just kind of help everybody understand what's happening inside of the organization.
We've covered a variety of trends through the course of our conversation, be they leadership trends as represented by your ascent through the corporate structure at Ricoh Americas, the very prominent trend of use of social media internally and externally within organizations. As you think out in the next several years, what other trends particularly excite you, and the extent to which you've formed a path or an idea as to how you're going to leverage those trends? I'd love to hear that as well.
You know, some of the most interesting things that I look at, I'm not exactly sure yet how I leverage them. So some of the things that I think have been very intriguing are augmented reality that's coming into marketing. So you think about a printed ad, or you think about a billboard, and using your smartphone or your tablet, just pulling up an image of that, and then all of a sudden a whole series of augmented content comes along with that image. And I think there's some very innovative things that are happening in the marketing area around augmented reality, and I could certainly see applications for that around our products, around our services. But that's a trend that I think is very, very interesting to see where that's going to go, because everybody's going to have smartphones, everybody's going to have tablets, and the limits of the content that people can share with us is going to just, I think, explode over the course of the next several years.
That's great. One last question, Tracy. For those who are listening who might aspire to walk in your footsteps and to first take on what I've referred to as CIO plus responsibilities, that is to have the CIO title, but to take on additional responsibilities to those, but then also to move beyond as you have in your current role as COO. As you think back to the steps prior to your taking on those additional responsibilities, is there any advice you would offer for the person who's the equivalent of someone three or four layers in the organization but has those aspirations, or even is the CIO and therefore just a layer beneath you in the organization, that you would advise them to think about in order to potentially put them on a similar path?
Yeah, I think the traits that would make people successful in this type of a transition are, number one, being oriented around the details. You really have to understand the aspects of the business that exist beyond IT. So you have to make sure that you're educated, you're knowledgeable about how those portions of the business are running. Then secondly, make sure that you find your voice. There's an opinion in there, there's a series of comments, there's something that CIOs are going to want to share that have a deep business context that are going to either help the organization improve or transform the way that they're doing business. And it's important to be able to develop that voice and be constructive in getting that information out. And I think individuals that can do those things and do them effectively are really set up to be the most successful in transitioning into other C-level type roles.
Tracy, you, Rothenberger, you clearly are someone who embodies that, as your accomplishments certainly demonstrate it. And I certainly appreciate the time you've taken here on the Forum on World Class IT, Tracy, to share a bit about your perspectives, your own career path, what you see for the future in your current role and in technology more generally speaking. It's been a great conversation. Thanks.
All right. It's been my pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat's business is built on the power of community-driven innovation, and it's this approach that enables customers to meet the demands of today's enterprise and prepare for tomorrow's opportunities. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation and visit redhat.com today to learn more. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.